they suffered from shin splints. Is that genetic?
The kids that are really active, we often see the mechanics of the foot position and so forth that causes or inflicts this pain up through the inside of the shin bone. Shin splints is a funny one. 12 months old, taking first steps. As podiatrists, we love barefoot play. Barefoot play and flexible footwear in those early formative years, that's a great place to start. For children, avoid thongs, your Crocs. The shoe, they're a bit like a chocolate, like just use it in moderation. The shoe you want to focus on is...
Welcome to the Comfort Walk and Talk, where every step towards comfort is a step towards a healthier you.
We're your hosts, Ash,
Jeff,
and Ben.
Together, let's walk the talk, transforming your lives from the ground up.
Hey guys, welcome back to the podcast. My name is Ash.
My name's Ben.
And today we have a very special guest for you. We had Sophie on the last episode of the podcast, and we heard incredible things from all of our listeners. So we brought her back. Sophie, welcome back to the pod. How are you doing?
Great. Thanks, Ash. Thanks for having me back. I'm glad your audience liked me.
Gets so nice, you're doing it twice.
That's it.
So Sophie, for those of you who didn't listen to our last episode, Sophie is an incredible podiatrist. Her and her husband, Jason, own the only kids podiatrist, correct me if I'm wrong, kids podiatrist in the state of Queensland. So obviously a very niche subject and you guys are experts at it. Question number one, why is foot care important in kids?
Oh, wow. Ash, that's a big question. And there's a lot of ways I could go with that. Foot health is imperative in kids because you're setting them up for life. So you're starting with a developing foot. When we see kids come into our clinic, we see kids as little as, 6 months old, before they're even walking, then, they're coming in at 9 and 12 months old when they're cruising around on furniture. And it's that early that parents are starting to see issues or concerns or things that perhaps they're a first time parent. Ben, looking at you there, that, has noticed something for the first time that doesn't look like it should or like they think it should. And so if you're on the front foot, excuse the pun, with your kids' feet, you can prevent a lot of issues later in life.
Is that a thing that people are super aware about? Like parents, do they come to you, do most of your patients come to you from I'm worried about the potential issues that could happen down the road for my kid? Or is it more, hey, they've got an issue now and we need help?
It's both. It's both. Parents definitely come to us because they're seeing something that they think is an issue or the child's complaining of something. But they also come in because they think, oh, I had really flat feet or grandma had terribly flat feet or grandma had bunions. Can you check my kid's feet? So it's really common. Just that parental concern. Like I know I'll sit there. I do a lot of the admin side of things now, Ash, at the clinic, and I'll often sit there. You always put their reason for visit. Referred from rheumatologist or whatever. And a lot of times reason for visit is just parental concern. Yeah.
You kind of opened up a bit of a can of worms there for me. You got me a little bit concerned. So with my daughter, she's just turned one a couple of months ago.
Yep.
What should I be looking out for?
Yep. Great question, Ben. So when you're looking at a child as young as one, so hang on, first of all, is she up and walking?
She's not. That was my next question. Should she be taking her first steps in supportive shoes?
Okay. 12 months old is like your average milestone age for walking. Okay. But it doesn't matter. There's kids that walk at 9 months. There's kids that walk at 18 months. Okay. When we're pushing out to 2 years, we're going to start to get a little bit concerned. There could be some other things going on, perhaps something neurological. But, she's 12 months old, right?
So she's close. She's almost there.
Okay, yeah. So she's up and she's cruising around furniture. That's where she's at?
Yeah.
So the main reason that you might call up Little Big Feet or bring her in for an appointment is if you see something that you think doesn't look normal to you, okay? So she's too young to tell you that something hurts or something, doesn't feel right. So when the kids are, at primary school and whatnot or kindy, mum, my foot hurts, my toe hurts, my arch, whatever it is. That's a great reason to come in. But as a parent looking at a child who is too young to say those sorts of things or complain of those sorts of things, you're really just looking for an anomaly that to you, if you've had other kids, it makes it a bit easier. You can go, hang on, the first kid didn't have this, but now this one, this doesn't look quite right. but a really easy one to look out for is asymmetry. So what I'm talking about there is one foot or one leg is different to the other. So that's often a sign of something not being quite right, just worth getting assessed for sure.
So sorry to turn this one, listeners, sorry to turn this one into a bit of a doctor's appointment. I have noticed with my daughter when we're picking her up to take her steps, you know, the supported walking, she does tend to walk on her toes more than anything. So we're trying to, you know, tell her to walk on the back of her feet and all of that, but it's hard if she
she's not listening.
Speak, so. Yeah, you know, as she did, she's trouble already, yeah. Isn't my girl? But is that something that we should be concerned about there?
Well, I like that you brought that up because we see so many children come through the clinic for toe walking. It's really, really much more common than you think. You're not alone, Ben. So we the reason that it's worth getting assessed is just to put that down to, is this idiopathic? Is there no cause for it at all? Or and is it habitual? Is it just a behavioural thing? In younger children like that, it's, and I say usually because there can be problems over here, but usually for the most part, for most children, it's completely normal. It's exploratory. It's developmental and there's nothing to worry about. But always worth getting it assessed because there are a number of children over in this category over here and it's a small number, but these children sitting over here that could have something neurological or something else going on that is causing, you know, toe walking and that really needs to be picked up sooner than later.
Yeah, right. So we had her in one of those, you know, the little wheelie walker things.
Yep.
So, yeah. They're supported, they're hooking around the house on one of those and we probably kept her in it for too long. So we're thinking that's where it's come from, the toe walking. Would that be, because we got another one on the way, should we probably limit the
walker? The same mistake twice.
I'm getting really personal here.
You learn from your mistakes, Ben. Yeah. You learn from your mistakes. Look, those sorts of walkers are, look, I'm a mum myself, so I know it's been a while, Ben, but for me that was like well over a decade ago.
We're talking surely
12, not. 14 years ago. But those sorts of things are very easy and great and make parenting easy at times. I mean, you got to cook dinner, right? And you know, if there's something there to help put the kids in, I totally understand it. But they're really not ideal sorts of things that you want to use ongoing or too often because it's not really helping the development of child's gait. We want to establish independent movement and let them get up and establish their gait nicely. So
you mentioned
a little bit, but not too much.
Also, if you also mentioned that you're a mum yourself, what made you want to get into specialising in kids podiatry?
Well, we, over the years, so my husband, Jason McClellan, is a one of only, oh, there's fewer than 10 in the country actually at the moment, credentialed paediatric podiatrists. So he did his specialty within that field of paediatrics and I believe still the only one in Queensland to hold that that specialty. And we originally had a family clinic and we were just seeing a growing number of kids coming through. It became more of our patient load was children than it was adults. And so we just realized, you know, we're getting referrals from other podiatrists come and see us because we're kind of the authority in kids' feet. They know more than we do. So we were just, I guess it was quite a natural, organic sort of process to move into, you know, specifically a kids clinic. And it's been such a fantastic thing to do because whilst, you know, I miss some of those conversations about, I don't know, the weather and whatnot.
Grown up
conversation. but we were then able to set up an exclusively pediatric and adolescent focused clinic. So it means that the clinic is, you know, set up for kids to, you know, draw on walls and fun play areas. They can bring all their siblings. It's fine. It's not like your usual parents sort of clinic or medical clinic that you go to where there's just a little box of toys in the corner for the kids. It's specifically set up for kids. So we can do all of our assessments, everything on site at kids level. You know, the plinths are kids size. Everything's kids size. So
and what's the nice. What's the clinic called? Give it a plug.
Give it a plug. It's Little Big Feet. So it's Little Big Feet over in Corinda. So, yeah, it's a nice little space that we have there.
Sweet. And what are some of the things that, you know, as, you know, Penny, Ben's kid, gets older, what are some of the things that he should be looking out for?
Well, once Penny is talking to you, Ben, hopefully she'll be able to tell you if there's any issues. As if a child's complaining of some sort of pain, something's hurting, a really common one parents might say is growing pains, they're waking at night, they're getting some sort of lower limb pains, then obviously being symptomatic, having a symptomology is a reason to bring them through and get them assessed by a podiatrist. And the other thing, like I mentioned to you before, is actually if you notice something that's just not looking quite right, is one foot turning in a little bit but the other one's not, is, you know, do they look a bit knock-kneed or bow-legged and so forth. And those things aren't necessarily always bad. A lot of them are growth related at certain phases and stages for children, and they're totally normal, and developmentally those things change as the bones grow and change. But there's no harm in getting that assessed. So, you know, you're more educated then as a parent, right? You know what to look out for. Oh, okay, the podiatrist said that's totally normal at this point in time. But if it's still happening when they're 4 or 5, then I definitely need to come back through.
So you mentioned that you guys were some of the only pediatric podiatrist in the country. Would, just for some of our listeners might be in a place where they can't get to Little Big Feet or anything like that, would any podiatrist be able to look in those issues, or would it be worth them coming out of their way if there's something really wrong with their kids, worth coming to you, making the trip?
Look, I've got to say, it's always worth making the trip.
Of course, we're just a lovely chapter as well, isn't it? So.
But look, there's we see lots of people from remote communities, like out west, across the border, that do travel up to see us, and we try and offer services like same day services and things like that, so we can get them seen if they've got to fly out again that night and so forth. Having said that, there'll be some of those kids that come through that we might say, you know what, your local podiatrist can look after this. This, we've done this assessment, we've found X, Y, Z, this is able to be maintained over here. So you don't need to keep making that trip back to us. But, you know, similarly, we do get lots of podiatrists that then will refer to us because that issue or that presentation might be just a little bit beyond their depth or out of their scope of works.
Yeah, I'm just idiot-proofing this one for me because I'm a bit of an idiot. But if you do have concerns, would you go and see your GP first, or do you go straight to a podiatrist?
Well, actually, it's not such a bad question, Ben, because plenty of people do start with their GP. And a GP will, you know, straight away be able to refer you to your podiatrist if that's where they think you need to be. So I don't think it really matters. If it's lower limb specific, I would say you could probably save yourself one visit and go straight to a podiatrist. But having said that, your GP will point you in the right direction anyway.
Right, perfect.
And talking about, you know, what parents should know when it comes to choosing the right footwear for their kids, you know, especially as they're growing and, you know, especially during the school year when you're, you know, you've got a kid that's 8 years old and they're potentially going to need a second pair by halfway through the year. Mm-hmm. What are the sorts of things that parents should look out for when choosing the correct footwear for their kids?
Yeah, good question, Ash. So I think that footwear, what you're looking for and what features you want in footwear is different if your child's Ben's child age, you know, 12 months old, versus if that's a 12-year-old. Very different things. So where do you want me to go here, Ash? Should I start
whichever way you would like.
Okay. Just start with Penny, please.
Start with Penny. All right, let's start with Penny. So 12 months old, taking first steps. So for the most part, as podiatrists, we love barefoot play. It's great and we recommend it. It helps develop the child's proprioception. So when they're moving around freely on, you know, safe surfaces and so forth, they get that proprioceptive feedback through their feet. It helps with their development and so forth. So barefoot play and flexible footwear in those early formative years, fabulous. Like, that's a great place to start. Having said that, there's a certain little number of people or number of children that can't get away with that. And that's the children that have some sort of symptomology, some sort of pathology, some lower limb issue that might be happening. Those kids that come through often come through with a range of other, a medical history like this. And they need supportive footwear. They need to be corrected. We need to get them up and walking. We need to put their foot in a certain position. So some kids need that. But for the most part, like my kids, you know, never any major issues. I'm sure Penny sounds like she's doing great. So those kids, put them in a nice, flexible first walker shoe, allow them to develop naturally, give her barefoot play. That's perfect. And then when we move up to the 12-year-olds. Should we head up here now, Ash?
Yeah, let's go.
Okay,
let's go.
The older kids. So with your older kids and like school age kids, I think the important thing is to, I just know you mentioned the school shoes there, Ash, and school shoes are, I'm going to say never, I'd like to say never, but let's say rarely going to last you a 12-month period. So when you're selecting a school shoe for a child, you're going to look for a range of features to ensure that you've got a good fit. And look, that in itself, I don't know if you want me to go through all those features, Ash, but we can have a chat about school shoe features if you like. But in selecting the right school shoe for your child, you just need to be really mindful that pick the shoe that meets that child's activity and what they're doing on a daily basis. So we need a shoe to withstand their activity and what they're doing. So we don't want to put a really active child in an incredibly formal, flat little Mary Jane.
Right.
We could be selecting a better shoe for that child.
With school shoes, it's really interesting because that school shoe has to be, you know, their day-to-day shoe, but it's also a football boot. It's also a running shoe. It's also, you know, you have to go outdoors with it. You know, you're trekking through the mud. So you're actually the co-founder of one of our brands, Scobie, that does, well, I can say so myself, they're the best school shoes on the market. Can you tell us why that's the case?
Well,
why are they so good, Sophie?
Well, look, I guess when we brought together that Scobie range, we were really thinking about what all these kids need at certain ages and stages. So, you know, I've been there myself with our kids. I'll jump straight into a shoe. So this one here is the Mary Jane Page. So this shoe is more designed for younger primary school age kids. At that point in time, we want to offer them something that's a bit lower profile. They're still perhaps have not long transitioned out of kindergarten. So we've tried to add features for that exact age and stage. So we've kept the shoe purposefully low profile, still, you know, relatively nice and flexible. But then we've looked for features. Well, you know, what's a 5, 6, 7-year-old kid doing? Probably using a scooter on the way to school, you know, running around the playground at lunchtime. They're not sitting behind a desk the whole day. So it's reinforcing the toe, double stitching through the toe box as well, a reinforced heel on a TPR rubber outsole. So all these sorts of like features are really focused around, you know, what is a child doing right there and then, and trying to match the child with that activity.
Are there any features in shoes that the parents should be avoiding?
There's probably more features that you can look out for that would be beneficial. So, for example, a really common presentation for children. In fact, I've got a great statistic for you, Ben. I know you like your numbers.
I love it.
So we've got 60%. Of all children, all active children, I should say, during their adolescence will experience heel pain at some point in time.
Wow.
Yeah, so it's massive. So typically the kids that come through with some sort of heel pain would be for us clinically, so haven't got a statistic on this one for you, but from experience, these are going to be the children that are 10, 11, 12, 13 years old. And the reason for that is we've got a growth plate or a secondary growth center at the back of the heel that's quite active during that time without getting into too many specifics. But what we can do in terms of footwear is look at ways in which we can alleviate or lighten the load on the heel. And because the Achilles tendon, you know which one that one is, Ben? Around the back of it. Yep.
Yeah,
right.
Yep.
So this inserts into the heel bone. So if you think of it like a big rubber band coming down the back of the leg and inserting into the heel bone, if it is pulling on this growth center and causing pain for a child, then what we can do is if we give them elevation under the heel. So we're talking about pitch now, like from the back of the heel to the front of the forefoot. If we elevate and raise the child at the back of the heel, then we're taking the load off that tendon. And so that is a great feature to look out for kids that have heel pain. So when you're looking out for a school shoe, the first thing I would say to that parent, if they're like, yeah, I need a school shoe, but my kid, he gets a bit of heel pain, I'd say, great, let's find you something that's got good elevation under the heel and try and offload the pressure or the strain that you're getting from that Achilles tendon at that insertional point.
Oh, that's really interesting. It's, I'll just go into specifically for me. When I was growing up, I suffered from shin splints when I was kind of into a teenager. I played a lot of footy and it really kind of exacerbated when I was doing a lot more exercise there. Is that genetic sort of thing? Is that something that I should look out for Penny? Is there any preventative things that I should be able to do or?
Yeah, definitely. Well, shin splints is a funny one. We could do a podcast on that in itself. but no, not a genetic component as such, but definitely we'd see that more so in the active kids. So this is similar to like your heel pain one. There's a lot of activity in that area at certain ages. But the kids that are really active, we often see it's the mechanics of the foot position and so forth that then causes or inflicts this pain up through the inside of the shin bone. So get that assessed by the podiatrist is what I would say first and foremost. And then there certainly are modifications and things that podiatrists can do to alleviate shin pain.
I mean, I know I deal quite a lot with kind of your adult shoes and things like that. I'd support one of the big reasons we tell people to wear comfort shoes is to prevent issues down the track. Is that the same for kids? Is there anything that I should be doing as a parent to prevent issues for Penny down the track?
Yeah, there are actually. Yes. I would say to you, Ben, a few things to look out for. And these are like common ones that at Little Big Feet, we've also got a shoe shop at the front. So we fit kids' shoes day in, day out. And parents often ask something along those sort of lines, like which one's good for their feet, which one's going to be good so they don't have trouble down the track. I would say a couple of pointers that come straight to mind. One is I would, for children, avoid thongs. The reason, and probably your Crocs. So many kids are going to hate me saying that because they're like massive at the moment. But what we want is we want the shoe holding onto the foot. We don't want the foot to hold onto the shoe. So, for example, in thongs and Crocs where there's no adjustability and we can't make the foot fit nice, the shoe fit nicely on the foot, then there's only one way that the foot holds onto the shoe, and that's by gripping our toes and using all these intrinsic little foot muscles here. And that can cause a whole lot of other issues as well. It doesn't actually strengthen anything and actually can cause a few other deformities and things like that over the long term. So those shoes, look, I'm not going to lie, my kids have worn them, but the shoe, they're a bit like a chocolate, like just use it in moderation. So the shoe you want to focus on is 100% your school shoe and your jogger, because I always say to parents, you focus on the shoe that the kids are on, that the kids are wearing 80% of the time. So what are they going to be in? A school shoe and a jogger. Yeah, they might have a little party shoe on the weekend. They might have their Crocs for the beach. They might have their thongs for something. Make those shoes the sometime shoe, like the occasional shoe, not the 80% of the time shoe. That would probably be my key one, getting a shoe that fits to the foot. And the same thing goes, you know, if you've got a shoe that is too small or too narrow, those sorts of things over time, if it's not correctly fitted, they can cause deformities as well, like lesser toe deformities, bunion deformities, things like that. It's really a great idea if you just take your kid, get their feet measured, get all that stuff checked regularly. Parents are often surprised. They come through and I don't think they've really grown. No, they think they still fit. And, you know, the kid's gone up two sizes. So
it's bad news for our parents is you do have to replace those shoes.
Have to replace those shoes, unfortunately.
They're squeezing into them. It's no good.
It's not good at all. Yeah, right, replace the shoes.
And what would you say to, you know, the parents that, you know, because it's easy to do, it sounds like there's a lot to think about and to be aware of when it comes to kids' foot health. For the parents that maybe aren't aware of it and aren't really putting it at the top of their priority list, what are some of the things that you would say to those parents for why they should become aware, why they should, you know, take care of their kids' feet? What are the things that they're not looking out for that they should be?
Well, I would probably say listen to your kids first and foremost. If they are complaining of something, get that checked. But you're doing them a bit of an injustice if you don't just check those shoes regularly, make sure that they fit is probably at the very least what you probably need to be doing. A lot of kids actually don't even speak up when their shoes are too small. They're running around in them all day, every day. And then the parents come through and they're horrified because these shoes that we take them out and we're like, oh, they're not a, you know, a US three anymore. There are five. And the kid's like, they still fit. But, you know, often these parents are like horrified and a bit embarrassed. So at the least, I would just check that the shoe is fitting.
Yeah.
Make sure that kid's not complaining of anything that should be assessed. And then hopefully you're ticking a couple of boxes.
I also have a little one back to your business, Little Big Feet. You say you run that with your husband. It's interesting because the Comfort Co. is actually a family business too. So Jeff, our CEO, has all of his kids work here. Yeah. I'm married to his daughter, believe it or not, actually. So we really keep it in the family. I just want to stir the pot a little bit here. Do you get any dramas being a family business? And who's the better podiatrist?
Can we get Jason on the phone?
Yeah, I can't say anything when Jason isn't here to defend himself. No,
let's dish.
Do you know what? I think I learnt well from my parents. So I actually grew up with my parents, you know, in family business as well. My brother and I both were involved in their business, worked for them for many years as well, you know, through those uni years and so forth. My brother's still involved in the family business today. And I think I always saw mum and dad work together. To me, it was just kind of normal, like working with Jason. I guess, you know, we're in the same space all the time. You can't really get away from it. So, you know, and if Jason's got an issue with something or someone, or whatever it might be, he's going to probably
okay, now we're take really it out getting down to it.
But no, for the most part, it's actually a pretty nice environment to be in. You don't have to come home at the end of the day and fill each other in on what's happened because, you know, you've been there through it all already.
So. I'm pretty grateful I work in a different section to my wife, though. It's nice to have those degree of separation, isn't it? Are there any exercises or any preventative measures that we could be doing for all of our kids?
Oh, do you know what? Preventative-wise, for the normal, you know, the normal child out there that doesn't have any problems, is really active, we wouldn't say go out there and prescribe them exercises or go and do this. We'd say go out there and be an active child and get involved in everything. Go and do your gymnastics and be involved in your ballet. I mean, we've had parents come through that have been incredibly sad, like really, really down because their child has been told you must stop this activity because of some sort of foot pathology or whatever's going on. Wow. It's really quite, it's not nice to see because you've got this child who loves whatever sport it is and all of a sudden they've been told to just stop. You know, we would never do things that way because being active, there's so many more benefits to that than not. So I guess though there are certain activities and things that we would encourage for certain children. So if we had a really common child that would come through our clinic would be a hypermobile child, and they have excessive mobility throughout their joints and ligaments and so forth. Those children often have a lot of other presentations and things to deal with as well, and they often end up in orthotics to help control their foot position and really supportive footwear. But there's certain activities and exercises and so forth that we would encourage that those children would do.
Well, it sounds like there is a bunch to learn about kids' foot health. And it seems like we touched the tip of the iceberg today in learning about it. So thank you so much for your time, Sophie.
You're welcome.
And as a reminder for our listeners, Sophie and her husband, Jason, own the clinic south of Brisbane called Little Big Feet. So anyone in the area wants to go check it out.
Yeah, go look them up.
Go check it out.
Thanks for the plug, Ash. Appreciate it.
You're so welcome. Thank you so much.
Yeah, thanks
guys. Thanks for having me.
So for anyone who has a comment or a question about their kids' foot health and wants to ask Sophie or Jason a question, leave a comment at Comfort Co. and we'll get back to you. Bye, everyone.
Thank you for listening to the Comfort Walk and Talk. If this episode has stepped up your foot care game, we'd love your support with a 5-star review on Apple Podcasts and Spotify.
And don't forget to subscribe on your favourite platform so you never miss a step on your journey to comfort.
And for more insights, follow us at our social channels at The Comfort Walk and Talk. Walk comfortably until we meet again.